Hi, you're welcome. Good to see this many people here showing an interest. You ought to hold elections more often, huh? Call to order a meeting of the Board of Commissioners, Port of Astoria, in our regular session, May 6th, 2025, at 4 p.m. We have a call to order. We're going to go for a roll call now, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spence.
Present via Zoom.
Commissioner Rome.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here. Could you please join me for a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Open things up for public comment. This is for items on the agenda when not covered by a public hearing. We have none. We'll now move to the item six, the consent calendar, where we can approve with one vote the meeting minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull 6B for discussion.
6B.
Financials.
Okay, we'll move on then with meeting minutes, regular session, Airport Advisory Committee, and the workshop session, and the Finance Advisory Committee minutes, and the event calendar. So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so we've approved the meeting minutes and the event calendar. Financials.
Mr. Chairman, on page 21, looking at the finance director's March 25th financial narrative, right off the bat, the statement is made that the year-to-date net loss has been $1,043,500. I guess two-part question. What has caused that deficit, and has it caused a reduction in the expenditures or a reallocation of priorities?
Can we answer that before we have a discussion? Go ahead and answer.
Sure. So around this time, the port will typically lose money. A lot of that will be made up in the spring. It's already started with the cruise ships that we've seen this month. There have been a lot of capital expenditures this year. We've definitely slowed down. So we do see that. We do expect that gap to narrow. And some of the numbers we have to understand as well are not cash related to cash, like there's a bad debt expense of $100,000, which is not a cash outlay. It's just a sort of a budgetary item. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
We need a motion to approve the financials.
So moved.
Anyone want to make a second?
Again.
Thank you. Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? We have a unanimous approval of the consent calendar. And now we're due for an advisory item, number 7, Customs Border Protection Facial Biometric Debarkation.
Prepared and ready.
Good.
Thank you. Commissioner President, Mr. Stevens, hello. Mr. Campbell, Mr. Rome, and certainly Mr. Hill and Frank. So I'm here to tell you, Matt and I are back from Miami having had a long discussion, fought the battle, and we come back with very good news. And we've been holding off on this just to make sure it has been vetted, it's verified, and it's growing. A couple other things have been added to
to it. So today I'm going to show you a two-part presentation. One is the gist of what CBP has decided and what we've been approved as a port in the nation. I'm just going to read this. So this is the kind of a statement that I had suggested that we would send out to our senators and whatnot in the community. For the story, we proudly announce that Astoria, Oregon has been approved for the CBP pilot program, facial biometric demarcation, FBD. So you can see a lot of FBD. So this is a situation that we are going to get some equipment. We will get equipment. The cruise line will have equipment to go ahead and process passengers on the ships. So my presentation is going to start with what you just sent to me this morning, PowerPoint. This is going to talk about the new CBP procedures and enhanced passenger processing, EPP. So I go here. So it's simplified arrival, SA. It uses facial biometric technologies to streamline the international arrival process and enhance security and enforcement. So as I go through this is just talking about in general how people go through airports and how they go through cruise ships, how they go in and out of borders, back and forth. And this is this new facial biometric they're going to be using. So this applies to everything. And then I'll narrow down how it's going to apply to us. So CBP developed an EPP, again, go back to enhanced passenger processing, to augment and automate the SA process, simplify arrival. EPP is pre-primary cameras to automatically capture travelers' faces, verify identities, conduct standard primary system vetting, confirm the traveler, and create biometric crossing record in CBP systems. So here you'll see this is let's say this is San Diego. They have a terminal. LA, they have a terminal. We do not. So I'll get into that a little bit later. But this is an example of how this process works. They start with queuing. This is just toward the top left here. This number one, if you can see that. You guys see that okay? Or do you want me to? It's not that important, because we won't have this until we build a terminal. But this is kind of how it's flowing right now. So the guests come in, they go in the queue, and their sign is going to tell them, you're going to be a biometric camera. Are you uncomfortable? Then let us know. Or they go through and they look at the camera and get rejected. Then they'll go all the way to the right. You see the blue X's. And that's kind of the standard process they check. Today, you and us in any airport without this technology. Or you walk straight through here and you'll see the green checks. You simply look at the machine, there's a green light, check, you go, red light, you stop. There's a border patrol officer saying, come here, and you go to this booth on the other side. This concept will apply to the cruise ships, but didn't have to go to the side for some more in-depth questioning, whatever, interviews. or you'll just walk right through. So, moving forward, that should give you an idea. Any questions on that? Okay, the slow process, automated manual process, EPP, enhanced passenger progress, confirms travelers identify, verifies their status as a United States citizen, and that they have no derogatory information, automatically creates a biometric crossing record, enables officers to focus on travelers' observation and interviews. That's what's happening. It's been happening the last 10 years. To get in that story, this is what you see, what you do, who you face our our personnel down here. Standardized primary inspection. The officer stations that the camera will only fully processing eligible low-risk United States citizen travelers. The reason they say United States, because the majority of passengers are from the United States. Foreign passengers get a different line, have a whole different thing. So we're just focusing on the majority of people. That's what they're using just for an example. The officer stationed at the booth will only be processing non-U.S. travelers, and this is for the foreign folks, derogatory information, and the travelers who do not have their identity verified with facial biometrics. And lastly, this is the enhancing for our first EPP, Enhanced Passenger Processing. Quickly identifies travelers' EPP status, enabling effective traveler segmentation to fast-track eligible travelers. This is really good for us. 90% of United States citizens are already EPP eligible. This is just something everybody pretty much has a passport and whatnot. Traveler segmentation and fast tracking significantly reduces crowding in the queue. Now here I want to show you, this is the visual. You see this, how they're walking up. Do you see these, the tapas here that they're looking into? So this gives you an example of what we would see on board a cruise ship. So the key is here, the cruise ship will be purchasing this equipment, and they will have it on board for passengers coming out of Victoria to walk through this. And as you can see, this EPP biometric camera requirements, what is needed for that to work here in this port, what CBP is going to get, because of, honestly, because of the fight of Betsy Johnson, that we set up here, that's talking to trying to get all the senators back and forth. This is all results of what we've done. And I have to tell you, I can't think of any other way. We were lucky. We raved, we screamed, we cried. So this is what you'll see that onboard the cruise ship. They will buy their own tablets right here. And then, so an automatic cap has the captain capability, which they're going to provide. Consistent high quality photo capture, green blue light EPP status indicator, connectivity to non-CBP internet, with 100 Mbps download speed and 10 Mbps upload speed.
So is that what the port needs to provide, is that connectivity, or is that the cruise ship has?
I'm talking to Will, our local folks here, my understanding that was shipped here a couple months ago, antenna, to get that speed. So I was really worried that we'd have to chase down and provide that, and it would get some pushback from Verizon. So at this point, I'm told by CBP to relax. We're going to ensure that you'll have the speed that you need to run this software. It's a great question, though. So if that's my understanding, and I'll follow up.
Sure.
Dictated power source, and that's easy. We have shore power. We have extension cord for that, and they have power on board the ship. So the only challenge is just to ensure that connectivity, and it provided the speed that they're asking for. Is that a lot of speed, Matt? I mean, it's over my head. I didn't think so. So these are kind of new technology, but they're pretty confident that we have it. And then the officers will have this provided to CBP via the process, a tablet, maintained, secured by CBP. So that's CBP's responsibility as well. And here, this is just talks about stakeholders. And the stakeholders in this are the cruise lines, not the port of Astoria. I really don't care about the rest of the nation, but we are not invited to be a stakeholder. We don't want to be a stakeholder because this is a voluntary situation. But for us in our small situation and our unique challenges, we've convinced or articulated that we are a special case and we should be treated differently. And so this just talks to the stakeholders. Giving that, and that's the end of it, and that's kind of how that thing works. And I'm going to go to the real quick. I got a call today from Will saying, Bruce, be quick. So tell me if I'm gone too long. Thanks for the call. So here's the purpose FDD, facial biometric debarkation program, aims to improve the speed and security of cruise passengers debarkation by leveraging enhanced data sharing between the cruise lines and CBP. What that is saying, when we take a cruise, you send your picture to the cruise line, okay? That picture goes to the cruise ship, so and then they take your picture when you get on board. So that information is already on board the ship, so we can never understand why it would delay. When you have the information, you have my picture, you have my birthday, you have my passport, you have everything. Why do I need to, why is it such a delay for me to go through? And so this is solving that issue. And that's the purpose. Data sharing. Participating cruise lines provide CBP with specific data, our pictures, send in reservation detail, passenger manifest, and voyage information. So each cruise ship sends a passenger manifest to the Coast Guard. Cannot leave without a manifest, and everybody has to be accounted for 100%, as you know. Okay. Facial biometrics, CBP uses facial biometric comparison technology. Now it gets complicated, so I'm going to skip that. The benefit of this program reduces the time in line by 30%. So right there, I'm going to say that is our saving grace. For now, the cruise lines are aware that there's no longer a 6-hour delay standing in line to get off the ship. It is now going to get right down to 3 hours, which is normal and reasonable in the community. So the cruise lines are aware of this, and we should see an increase of bookings now and as we go along. So CBC suggests that the cruise lines, I know Norwegian has their own, and they're on board the ship. So they roll these things out, and they have them in whatever hallway or whatever, and you just walk past it. Princess Cruises, they leave theirs at different ports. So they might be leaving theirs here, but nobody gets to use them except Princess. Apparently. So that makes sense to me. So these are the things that are happening in the industry right now. This should be in your packet. Did you get a packet of a gentleman looking at it? You'll see the ports that have all, these are all ports with terminals. So we're not included in that. So to end this, this is a pilot program. There are only four ports or entities in the Americas that have been approved for this. The first was Astoria, Boston, then Duluth, Great Lakes is international, and then Victoria, which makes a lot of sense to me because Victoria, people who are going to go from Victoria to San Francisco, you can double clear U.S. Customs and Canadian Customs in Vancouver. You can only clear Canadian Customs in Victoria. So Vancouver, I believe that down the road, you will see this technology, and you'll be able to clear in Victoria, which is good for us. It's a good thing, too. So that's why they're there. But only four of us, and it's a 2-year program, and they're going to monitor and see how things work and make a decision if they're open up. That's my report. Any questions?
Thanks for the good news.
Isn't that great? Well, thank you for your time.
Questions?
Keep up. You're doing the Lord's work.
Sometimes I'm registering in land with debarkation.
Say again.
Registry and land debarkation.
I'm sorry.
Debarkation. Debarkation is a bad thing.
Yeah, oh, in that car seat if you want to get on.
Let me check, see if we do have questions. Commissioner Spence, you have questions?
Commissioner Spence, questions?
As none. Well, of course I do.
Okay.
2-year pilot program, what happens at the end of 2 years?
After 2 years, I hadn't told me, and I didn't think to ask that question. I was just pretty happy with that.
Well, yeah, I am happy as well after what we went through. This is the same thing we see when you go on board a cruise ship, is it not?
That's correct. This is, that's a terminal. So all these ports have those, and so I'm suggesting you and I have only been on to see these, have gone through a terminal of an airport or a terminal going into a cruise ship. And so they've been out there, this has been going on for a while, and it's including us small ports now.
But CBP didn't recognize this technicality or this equipment?
Well, I think my observation is that they screwed up. I mean, they basically wanted to get it working in the ports, and it didn't work for a while.
Yeah.
I've seen stacks and stacks of kiosks in Vancouver that they tried. There's got to be 50 of them. Will worked up there. So 50 of them that they only used for 3 months, and now they use them for the serpentine a lot.
Okay.
Anyway, so the point is, they didn't include the smaller port in our needs.
Correct. And I'm not trying to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I just have to just think that maybe what we saw when they were requesting funds, that what I saw last year was a work slowdown. Thank you.
Well, I gotta say, I mean, Matt was pretty stumped and saying, I just, makes no sense to me why you're asking us for money when this is the situation. We're a small port. And I don't know that they ever addressed it, and they didn't think anybody would push back. Turns out there's a lot of small ports in our situation.
Well, all we got back was a bureaucratic letter signed by a deputy undersecretary assistant. Okay, thank you.
Hurt our feelings and callers and flowers. So,
yeah.
No, but I think that was, of all the things I've done going to Miami and doing whatever, been very, very successful been over the years, this is a high point. This is a high point coming back and being able to share this. And it worked.
Thank you. Matt,
do you have anything you want to add? Or?
No, just to underscore what Bruce said, I mean, this has been a long fight. And so that we've heard numerous times over the last year and a half that you're going to have to pay for it, you're going to have to pay for it. We just held firm and we don't have to pay for it.
Well, thank you all for your work.
Had we suffered for that equipment, would it be worthless now?
No idea.
Well, it doesn't include the personnel that operate it. Yeah. Right. And there's no guarantee there would be people to operate it.
We're going to move on to our action items. We have two. They're both a product of our financial advisory committee. And we have financial policies and investment policies. We'll take them one by each. Anything to put forth on that? Oh, Melanie, thank you.
So the commission will turn to page 30 of your packet. This updated financial policy is presented to the finance committee and reviewed. So I'm presenting a copy of the draft that shows the marked up changes, and then following that will be the clean copy. So I'll quickly review the changes and then ask for your approval of the updates. So starting on page 30, you'll see that for the budget section, we actually removed a lot of the references to budget, law, and procedure, and mostly just referenced the Oregon state budget rules. A lot of this was just redundant to what Oregon state requires and seemed unnecessary. Following page for the audit, we added that the finance committee should review the audit and make recommendation for approval to the commission. The following page, for special revenue fund, we removed references to other resources not used for ordinary expenses of report. Expenditures authorized by the commission have been primarily used for capital outlay. Basically, this was not applicable, it was not in practice, so we just cleaned that up. Next, the special revenue fund. On page 33, second paragraph, capital assets. We raised the threshold for capitalization of assets from $5,000 to $25,000. This seems significant, but it aligns with a similar change the state made for some of their small and medium procurements. They raised it from $10,000 to $25,000. We just think that's a more reasonable number with the cost of things these days. You can't get much for $5,000. Go to the following page, page 34, there's just a minor cleanup of language under revenue recognition. The bottom section, we added EFT payments. So we said EFT payments may proceed upon either written or verbal authorization from the executive director, his or her designee. This is a departure from the old procedure, which is basically disallowed finance from making any purchases outside of checks, which would have to be signed, on the 5th and the 20th. This basically allows us to make expenditures between those periods with authorization from the executive director. And then after the purchases have been made, we would supply the check signer with documentation for his review and approval on the check signing dates. So this gives us a little more flexibility. for cash handling. Some cash payments are able to report. The office manager creates a receivable packet, which has been reviewed by the accounts payable specialist, and everything is kept locked up. On page 36, again, we're just changing the capitalization threshold to the 25,000. Also under 4.3 investments, the original financial policy is referenced in investment policy, which did not exist at the time, and we have created one, so we're able to make that edit. And then on the last page, for port inventory, the financial policies originally said that the port will inventory property and equipment at least once every 2 years, and I'm happy to report that we do that on an annual basis. We're going to make that change. Under property dispositions, this was redundant to a separate policy, and so we're just referencing that policy instead. I'm trying to put it into this manual as well. So those are the changes I would ask. Oh, sorry, one more page. On page 38, we struck Section 8 tenant lease agreements and management. We just thought that was unnecessary to the reference to that in this policy. So those are the changes, and then on the following page, so around 39, are the actual updated policies. So I'm asking the commission to approve the Port of Escoria fiscal management policies as presented. Do you have any questions?
So Lee, that was here was part of this process. I don't know if that's anything you want to add.
No, unless there are questions, just add that the Finance Committee went over these policies very thoroughly and feel like they're up to date with current practices, and we voted unanimously to recommend their approval to the Committee.
Mr. Chairman, on page 36, you have two Section 5. So to eliminate confusion, you're going to have to renumber the pages.
Thank you.
That's
page 36, two Section 5.
We'll get a person on that right away. Thank you.
For the audience's benefit, one of them was in red and one of them was black and white, so that's the impression that those are two different things.
So I'll ask the commission to approve the fiscal policies, but I will note that the section numbers will be updated. Because he's correct. And we did review it.
Well, further questions, further discussion? We're ready for our motion.
I move we approve the Port of Astoria's updated fiscal management policies with the updated section number numeration.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Having a unanimous vote, approval. Thank you. Ready to discuss the investment policies. Is that saying you? Okay.
So this is a new policy, and I'll ask the commission, would you like me to read through the document or just go over the highlights of the document that is the most pertinent?
Highlights, please.
Yes, sir. Okay, so this is a new policy for the port. It basically guides our process and procedure for investments. We are looking to be very conservative with our investments, but we do want to try to make money off of our money, as it said. So if you look on Section 4, Investment Surplus Funds, this is a guide for the benchmarks for when we would be investing excess money. So for operating reserves, for anything required for day-to-day operations, it either has to be in a checking account or in a highly liquid instrument like the local government investment pool. And this is where we are right now. So we have between 250 to 500,000 that we will can and do move to the local government short-term investment pool account, and highly liquid means that we could transfer it back out in a day. So that allows us to use it for operating reserves. Now, their surplus funds exceeded $1 million, we would be investing them in instruments with maturities of 12 months or less. So again, very liquid, but not as highly liquid as those sort of cash alternatives. Page three, long-term investments. If the port gets to the point where we have surplus funds exceeding $2 million, then they will be invested in instruments with maturities of up to 5 years. So still nothing longer than 5 years, but they don't have to be as highly liquid as those other benchmarks. So this is the policy that we're looking for approval on. Are there any questions? David, do you want to talk?
Sure. As I mentioned at our finance committee meeting, some of this policy is more aspirational at this stage than real. But looking forward to the day when Pier 2 becomes a mini fisherman's wharf, hopefully we'll have these kinds of reserves and be able to invest them very fairly. Every type of security we're talking about here, these are bonds, very high quality, and would be managed very professionally and conservatively.
Is the staff be asking for approval of the investment policies as presented?
Any questions before we address the motion? We're ready for a motion.
I'd like to move to approve the Port of Astoria's investment policies as presented.
Second. Motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Have a unanimous approval of our investment policy. Good work, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to public comment for non-agenda items. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission regarding port concerns, not on the agenda. We have no public comment. We're ready for commission reports. Commissioner Spence, commission reports.
I thought this was going to be my last meeting, and Will clued me in that actually my term runs to June 30th, so you're stuck with me. But I thought with the election coming up in 2 weeks of May 20th, and my successor would be elected then, they don't take office until the first meeting in July. So you're stuck with me through June 30th, and I'm happy to serve. And honored.
We as well with you. Anything further?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Campbell?
14th, I think, of August, we've got about 50 antique airplanes coming into the airport here. In the morning, they'll be having lunch there and then traveling on up. They're making about a week long trip out of it. Going to different airports, but it'll be interesting. They're all antique flying machines. It's older than most of us. So.
Great. Say that date again.
14th of April.
August. Yeah. Okay, yeah, 14th.
Actually, July.
I have July.
July.
Is that July?
July 14th.
July, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And do you want to address what's going on the 17th of May? The EEA?
I'm not sure, but I didn't get briefed on that.
Okay, I'll deal with that in a minute. Okay. Thank you. Anything further? Mr. Rowan?
Our last meeting, I spoke briefly with the boatyard manager, Brandon, and he had an idea about working with Cotts Community College. And so I called college
Trejo?
I don't have a report. Okay.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Well, Bruce, Connor ordered me to help him greet two new inaugural cruise ship arrivals. I did that. Anyone else that wants to do that, you're welcome. Every now and then, the skipper of the ship will buy you lunch. I also checked into the Clatsop County budget message by Zoom. Actually, I was supposed to because of another volunteer task I had was a sheriff's rural law enforcement district. The county message wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be with the timber fund impact. But the sheriff, of course, is going to have some problems staying within his budget. It's limited. On the 17th of this month, there's going to be another EEA at the airport. Our director participated with it when it was held last year. That is where people, the target group is young people, but this time it's going to be 18 or over, can go to the airport and get a free ride in a private airplane. We've got about six pilots lined up. And they take people up and run in a circle overhead for about 20 minutes. And the object is to get people to become familiar with aviation and perhaps move on and get their pilot's license and join the private airplane community. Did I say that all right? Thank you. And I think that concludes my comments. Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Commissioner. So I have a few items, but before I get started here, I'm just going to cede some time to Director McGrath to give a bit of an airport update.
Sure. Just a brief update on the airport industrial park and the development that we're looking to do out there. We submitted a request for proposals mid-April. For the construction of two 10,000 square foot flex space buildings to handle light industrial work. That's really a high priority here in the area. It's very hard for anybody with a small shop to find space. So we're looking at five different proposals right now. We're evaluating those proposals. We will have them done by the end of this week, and we'll be doing interviews next week. We've had five proposals, but we're going to be interviewing two firms, and we'll be bringing that to the commission here within the next few weeks for approval. Moving forward on.
What kind of users do you imagine? Like automotive?
It could be just about anything and everything. The great thing about this, the 163 release that we have from the FAA, is it doesn't have to be aviation related, so we can use that space for anything. So, and I've had a number of people already ask me for space if we have it, and I said, we don't have it, but it's coming. One of the things we'll do is we'll get through phase one, which is going to be primary engineering, design work, and those types of things, and we'll move to the construction phase when we have tenants lined up before we build.
So we are building it, or who's financing?
We will build it. At this point, that's the plan. We will build it.
Questions on that?
I don't see any.
All right. I just had a few items here. Number one, I just some folks may be aware we're currently in negotiations with our union represented staff for a new salary schedule over the next 2 years. So I just wanted to publicly thank both our staff and the hall for the working relationship that we have. I know over the last few years and working with the president here at the Local 50, Todd Ranta. I really appreciate how straightforward he is. He's an honest guy. If there's issues, he'll contact me and vice versa. So I know that there have been times and throughout the history of the port that hasn't always been the case in terms of that working relationship. And then, of course, whenever you're in the middle of labor negotiations, it can put a little bit of friction between admin and staff, and so I'm happy to report that our staff seems to be continuing to do an excellent job down here, and I'm cautiously optimistic, maybe is the right term, that we can get an agreement done before the expiration of the current schedule, which ends on June 30th. I think in my time here at the port, that's never happened. We've always got it done after the fact, but I think we're on a good track. So I'm hopeful to continue to see that move forward. We do have a meeting set up on Thursday with some representatives from Northwest Forest Link, our log exporter. As the commission is aware, we had recently approved a standby lease rate where they weren't going to be moving any logs to sort of try to wait out some market conditions that were causing them significant losses. And so we've gone 2 months, so 50% of the way into that standby agreement of 4 months. And so again, we'll be meeting Thursday to start to chart out what the future might look like down there. I know that there have been some personnel changes at Forest Link, so I'm interested to see kind of what their plan may be for the future and to get an update on where they are in terms of resuming operations down here. And so I will inform the commission as I know more. I did get a request from our finance department for commissioners that you get your stipend reimbursements done, so the end of our fiscal year is next month, and it's really helpful for up to date on those. So if you have some of those backlogged, our finance department would appreciate you getting those submitted. And the last item that I had, and it's on our calendar, but we have our first budget meeting next Wednesday, the 14th at 1 p.m. So our staff, our finance team, our management staff has been hard at work over the last month or two putting a budget proposal together. There's a lot of work that goes into that, so I'm appreciative. And I think we're tying up the final pieces to get a proposal out to the budget committee and to the commission. And then I encourage the public to attend those meetings. It's next Wednesday at 1. And those budget committee meetings are a good way to really learn about an organization, because we go through in pretty good detail each department and looking at what we expect over the course of the next years, both from a revenue and an expenditure side of things. And I think for a lot of folks that maybe have a conception of, or a misconception of kind of how the port works or how the finances of the port work, that those meetings can be really beneficial. I was actually thinking about it as we were talking earlier about questions about our finance packet and how, you know, operationally, like about 90% of the ports in Oregon, we do lose money every year because of the infrastructure that we're charged with maintaining, and then we try to make that up through you know, a small percentage of our budget being property taxes and then various grants. And so those budget committee meetings are a great way to kind of get a grasp on how the port operates from a business perspective. So that concludes my report.
Questions for the director? Discussion? Commissioner Spence, any questions for the director? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you for your comments. Upcoming meeting dates, there is an Airport Advisory Committee meeting May 12th at 4 p.m. And as just mentioned, the Budget Committee is going to start its first meeting here May 14th at 1 p.m. And that will be open to the public. We'll have a workshop session May 20th at 4 p.m. And another budget committee meeting May 21st. It is budget time all through Oregon. Any other business?